The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
I feel like opening day should be a holiday by now.
You're absolutely right, Steve. We should all get it off, and we should all get to watch it on giant screen TVs.
I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla. Cody Fincher with us as well. Opening day was eventful. They talk about how they deadened the ball in baseball, but it sure didn't seem that way, especially not in the Diamondbacks-Padres game, the opener in San Diego yesterday.
Madison Bumgarner's double would have been a home run last year.
It really would have been a home run last year. It was that close.
Just missed.
Oh, man.
Let's go over, before the game even happened, I think we were all a little bit surprised by the lineup card that Torrey Lovello put out yesterday. We all know Torrey likes to do these things where he's loyal to a fault. He likes to go with certain guys at certain times. He loves positional flexibility. But I think we all had this idea of what the opening day lineup was going to look like. Maybe you could have had a question in right field. Maybe Nick Ahmed didn't play. But yesterday's lineup was straight up weird. Eduardo Escobar started at second base and Cabrera started at third, which is something we all thought could happen, but I don't think any of us thought it would happen on opening day.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Nick Ahmed didn't play. He wasn't ready. So Rojas was playing short. I guess that makes sense. I would have thought LeCastro would get the start in right field, but it was Pavin Smith. So it was just a weird... And Steven Vogt was the catcher? I can't make any sense of this.
Well, I have a couple of explanations for what went on, and I think it's more of the lack of depth from the Diamondbacks that we saw exposed already in game number one, which is scary because they're already at this point where we don't really know what they could do to improve the lineup, really, because there's nobody on the bench that you would really stick in there instead of some of these guys. Like you said, you brought up LeCastro, and I understand why he wasn't out there. LeCastro's too flexible in his ability to take over if somebody else wasn't really playing well and they needed to plug him in at one of those positions.
He's a better substitute? Well,
I think, well, what it is he's just – he has the ability to play more positions.
Okay.
So if they started him at right field – and then they needed someone to step in maybe for Rojas, or they needed somebody to step in for Escobar at second, then they don't really have that same flexibility if he's already playing right field. I mean, they could switch the lineup around and do a change like that, but I think maybe that might have been the reason why. And it's Steven Vogt, again, he was just having a better spring offensively than Carson, and that's what we heard from Lovello prior to the game, is that they're trying to generate as much offense, especially in a game against the Padres.
Well, last Tuesday, after their last spring training game, Torrey Lovello does his weekly hit with Burns and Gambo, and I think Gambo asked him, are you going to go with a platoon in right field with matchups, lefty-righty matchups? And Torrey Lovello basically said, yeah, we're going to be doing lefty-righty matchups in right field until Cole Calhoun comes back.
So you get Darvish.
So Darvish, a right-hander. Okay. Smith starts in right field. But Derek's point is still valid, too. LeCastro can literally play anywhere.
He can play anywhere.
And if you have to just plug him into one spot, maybe that's not a great idea. But it'll be interesting to see today with Snell on the mound, a left-hander, if LeCastro starts in right field.
The other thing about it is, like, Rojas, for instance, is another guy that they could use. But again, he was starting at short for Nick Ahmed being out. Really, what this just exposed is with Calhoun and, you know, Ahmed both on the shelf right now with injuries, the Diamondbacks have very little to fall back on. Like you said, Pavin Smith playing right field, that was weird. He has played a lot of outfield this spring, though, and he has shown that he's capable defensively of playing out there. I think that they had quite a few guys like Trace Thompson, and they had, you know,
Dalton Varsho?
Dalton Varsho, thank you.
You're
His
welcome.
Name was just escaping me because he's already gone.
I thought
off
you
the
loved
team.
Him so much, but
nah,
I guess
I mean,
not.
I have you seen what Asdrubal Cabrera has done against the shift?
I'm you don't just have saying. To tell me about Asdrubal.
Oh, he continued his spring. Like, he is one of these guys that I think is going to be the most valuable pickup that the Diamondbacks had
his
during
swing
the offseason.
Is so pretty.
He just does not look like a guy that should have been available like he was. I mean, I get his age. I get, like we've talked about, his lack of range, which is why he is.
But he looked
at
good at third yesterday, too.
He looked better at third than Escobar did in his mobility at second. Escobar isn't used to playing at second, though, so I feel like that was... And we didn't see a lot of that at spring. That's another thing, is we didn't see Escobar play a lot of second.
There were not a lot of balls hit his way either,
right.
So I'm wondering what that's going to look like.
And there's other guys on this roster. I was a little bit surprised Josh Van Meter made this team. Wyatt Matheson can play third base. I'm not saying they should have played over Escobar and Cabrera. I think they got the right two guys in the lineup between those four. But like you were talking about, Escobar doesn't really have the range to play second base, or it seems like he's not well equipped to play that position defensively, whereas Josh Van Meter might be in the near future. So I don't know where that plays a role, but it was just a weird lineup.
I'm still holding out hope for the Rojas at second base thing when Ahmed is healthy.
Right. And do we know when Nick's coming back?
They said he could play today, but it's not sure. He just still is dealing with that knee injury.
Yeah, his right knee. And it's been the same injury that he had during the offseason or during spring as well.
I mentioned this earlier to Derek. I want to get your take on this too, Cody. I saw with Pavin Smith playing right field, it just felt weird to me that the Diamondbacks' two primary right fielders, Cole Calhoun and apparently Pavin Smith, are both left-handed. Is that weird? I mean, I feel like right fielders are never left-handed.
Yeah, we talked about all of the
or not commonly. Yeah. I guess Cody Bellinger would have been a left-handed right fielder.
We tried to work out how it would work as a catcher. We were doing live demonstrations before you arrived, Cody.
And it's hard on the podcast.
Yeah, it's hard, but yeah, it doesn't seem like a good situation because it's both crossbody catching and crossbody throwing, right?
Yes.
And,
yeah. He came this close to robbing a home run, by the way.
Again.
Which is interesting. I mean, it only
tall.
Counts if
he's
you get
tall,
it,
but so I mean, it doesn't take much for him to jump
right
up
I mean,
there. And
you have to wonder
wall,
how many times has he even tried to rob a home run in his career.
One thing I did want to talk about was Ketel Marte and his monster day, and how he played in center field as well. Like, I saw him make some pretty good plays out there, and I mean, he's still not great, but I think he's going to be a really good center fielder.
Well, if he hits. I mean, he's not going to hit 800 this season like he did in the first game. But
hold on, not so fast. Maybe.
Why not?
Let's not put that out there.
But if he hits like Ketel Marte, like we know he can, like the last couple of seasons, I think he's got the upward potential of being a top two or three center fielder in baseball.
Yep.
I don't know that there's a lot of names in baseball that are higher than him. Definitely Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger I would put above him. But beyond that, there's not a lot of great center fielders in the game.
With the way this team is put together this season, I think we're definitely going to see him in center field for the majority of the year.
How could you not?
That's what I keep wondering. Like, are they just going to say he is our center fielder now?
Well, because
for the long term, and not just like, well, we don't have one this year, and Ketel can play center, so let's just put him out there.
Maybe that's something that will allow him to just develop into that one position. Like we talked about with a lot of the guys just being rotated around too much, they just don't get that chance to really get great at that position that they play. Marte has all of the athleticism necessary to be a great center fielder. It's just really the experience and knowing how to judge some of those balls and, you know, make those plays at the wall and at the warning track and stuff like that. His offensive output yesterday, I mean, day one and we were talking about a cycle. You know, that's
the potential
crazy.
For it,
going 4 for 5, 2 singles, a double, and a home run.
Home run was dead center field, too.
That's really hard.
Not only was it difficult to do. Dead center, but he also kind of, like, that was a spark plug for the team, right? Like,
sure.
We ended up seeing an historic inning from the Diamondbacks that was the first time on opening day that any team has hit 4 home runs in a single inning.
Ever. Wow.
So that's not something that we ever thought we would say about this team, especially that lineup when you saw that lineup at the beginning of the day.
Well, one of them was Cabrera.
Vogt
was one of them, and LeCastro was
LeCastro.
The other one.
Yep. LeCastro.
Yeah. Jimmy Lowe. Who didn't even start the game?
LeCastro. He pinch hit that home run. That was his pinch hit home run.
And he cranked it to deep left center.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We almost had Madison Bumgarner hit one to straightaway center field.
Was that the same inning, or was that a different inning?
No, that was a different inning.
That was a different inning.
Yeah, that was a prior inning, because I believe LeCastro pinch hit for Bumgarner.
I think so. Or Pavin Smith. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. Well, he came in for Pavin Smith after that, so yeah, he might have pinch hit for him at that point, and then just taken over.
But anyway, like, all the guys you're not expecting this from, except for Marte, happened yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't expect to see Stephen Vogt start yesterday. I didn't expect Tim LeCastro to come in and just crank one deep left field. Are you serious? And then, I mean, I don't know. Like, Rojas, he didn't look comfortable, but
yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Rojas was 0 for 5, which is crazy because he came in with, like Cabrera, with a pretty hot streak.
Yeah.
You know, consistent record of getting on base, at least in his appearances, and he went 0 for 5 at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, he does make hard contact. At least he has been during the spring. He had some of the better exit velocities on the team, which is interesting to say. Great offensive numbers yesterday. I think we're all pleased with, what was it, 7 runs total against the Padres, against Yu Darvish. I think you'd take that any day of the week.
But guess
it
what?
It just didn't end up
the
being
Padres
enough.
The Padres scored 8 runs.
I know.
That's right. At the very least, Fernando Tatis went 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, so that kind of makes you feel good. Yu Darvish had 4 earned runs, but the bigger story is Bumgarner with his 6 earned runs in 4 innings.
Not great.
Man, didn't look good. His velocity was up from what we saw at spring, just a tad at 92, hitting consistently.
He hit 93 on one pitch I saw, and I thought he looked pretty good through the first couple innings. Maybe he was just amped up for opening day or whatnot, but
he was,
because after that, I mean, it kind of, his velocity went down to, I saw a couple 89s in there, so I'm like, oh boy.
I couldn't sustain it.
Yeah.
The bigger problem for me is that I think we can all agree that the strike zone was absolute trash,
awful.
No matter who was pitching.
Ted Barrett, the home plate umpire.
Oh, Ted. You,
like, I could have played connect the dots with his freaking strike
zone
yesterday.
Somebody put a drawing of the strike zone out there. It looked like a poorly drawn E, you know, filled in.
Okay, this is dorky, but remember the scene in SpongeBob episode? We're not talking about this or this. We're talking about this. He's drawing the lines everywhere.
Yes.
Steve looks
God,
lost.
God, I hope people get
Steve
that.
Steve looks lost.
That was a great SpongeBob voice, by the way. I had
We're
no idea
about
Bear.
This.
I had no idea Bear could do such a good SpongeBob. But it was.
That was actually pretty good.
Thank you.
I'll take that.
It was
insane. Oh, by the way, we have Angel Hernandez on this.
Oh, don't even get me started.
We're
going to
see him behind
Bear.
The home plate sometime this weekend.
My point being about Bumgarner and the strike zone was that he got really thrown off by it. And I mean, even the announcers were trying to kind of, they were like, maybe he's yelling at himself. I'm like, no, he is not yelling
he's not.
At himself. Trust me, I can tell.
No, he's not. Steven Vogt even was getting really pissed off behind the plate.
Cabrera had words for him in the final at bat before he knew he was inevitably going to like go out. He wanted to say something to him.
I hate to dwell on umpires and officials for too long, but you can't bring me robot umpires fast enough.
Oh, you're
these guys
absolutely
are terrible at their jobs. There's a few that are good, but guys like Ted Barrett, Angel Hernandez, I don't think Joe West is I think he's retired now, but he was awful.
It's this officiating crew specifically that
so
is
bad.
Officiating this
it's
team.
It's like they put them all on one team. But there, and they were there like, was, you guys just, that game will just kind of mulligan.
Whenever these guys are officiating
this game, this series isn't on national TV,
out.
So you go there.
Yeah.
But like, there was this one area yesterday with this where Madison Bumgarner was hitting and he struck out. Or he got out. What I think he struck out.
Struck out.
And he had words for Ted Barrett.
It was
and
more about his strike zone.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Like,
he's like, well, I'm not getting that.
How
but
is that
you're
a right.
And so he was walking back to the dugout, and Ted Barrett was following him, and still talking to him. I'm like, what's annoying about this is that umpire Ted Barrett could follow Madison Bumgarner almost all the way to the dugout, but if Mad Bum had turned around, he would have gotten tossed.
And when you say
the umpires can do anything with no consequences,
no, you're absolutely right.
That we know of, they might get fined for being stupid. I don't know,
but it's antagonizing language and things like that that they, you know, have to do that escalate.
And they
the
probably get.
Right?
I'm going to be fair here. They probably get bad things said to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we've never heard before.
Here's the thing.
So they have to keep their cool too. But like, I just don't. Like how the fact that umpires can have their own strike zone and that's okay and accepted is stupid. It's a joke. There is the strike zone, not I like to call balls low a strike. Oh, I like to call the outside. No, it's a strike zone. A strike is a strike and a ball is a ball.
It makes it worse that we on national television have to see this little box that's supposed to be
every
the strike
network
zone.
Does that now
and
too.
Then we
every
have,
single one
we have to see how bad these pitches are
and there's pitch tracks it's, on MLB.com and the app.
If that box wasn't there, I wouldn't feel as angry about it sometimes because I would be like,
it's
like,
really the league throwing their umpires under the bus.
It is
probably
because the league allows that.
That's
happen.
Probably one of the biggest gripes for the Umpires Association. Can we
rid of the box?
In our next CBA, we want to get rid of the box.
Now, the thing that's funny about that is I work in a job where sometimes people email me to tell me I did something wrong. And if they don't take the right tone with me, I forward it to my boss. And I'm like, I don't like how this guy's talking to me, you know? And umpires can't do that. That's what they get. That email, that's what they get in real life all the time when they're working. They just constantly
get to their face.
Yeah, to their face.
They like, can't even forward it as junk or anything.
By a guy much richer and much more handsome, more athletic, bigger than them, you know, with a bat in his hand, and he's supposed to just take that all the time.
And they have a helmet,
right.
And you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
But if
doesn't
they just, seem like a fair fight.
If they
we give them a face mask. That's what we gave them.
If they just did their jobs right, this wouldn't happen.
That's the weird thing, is the chip on the shoulder to the refusal to try to do things the right way. Obviously, those calls off the plate yesterday were just all over the place. You know, you could say he was calling a wide strike zone, but then it was an absolute joke in the final. Like it was,
the ninth inning.
It was when the Diamondbacks were up, and I was mad about the pitch for the Padres pitcher because their closer threw a kind of curveball up in the top corner that was way outside, and he called it a strike. And then two pitches later, he throws a fastball in the exact same spot, but down lower, more in the strike zone. And he called it a ball. I was beside myself in that moment. Like, as far as I was concerned, that game was over. And so I think it was for Drubal Cabrera, because that's when he started, you know, having words for him about, like, hey, that one was a strike, but now that one's a ball. You can't be that bad at your job and that inconsistent. If you're going to call that a strike, it's got to be a strike all game long. It can't be just when, you know, lefties are up or when righties are up or this or that. No, man, you got to pick how wide your plate's going to be, and that's how wide it is the whole game. You know?
One thing I don't mind, and maybe this is because I was a pitcher when I played in high school, one thing I don't mind an umpire doing is if a catcher sets up in a specific location, like low and away, whatever the case may be, and the pitcher just nails that spot, like, I don't care what kind of pitch it is, could be a curveball, could be a fastball, and they just nail that location, even if it's a little bit off the plate, sometimes umpires will give the benefit of the doubt to the
pitcher right.
Because they were so pinpoint accurate on the pitch.
Yeah.
And maybe part of that is deception, and catchers are getting so good at pitch framing and all that stuff. But I don't usually mind that.
Caratini was trying some stuff yesterday.
He was.
Because you never know. You never know.
Yeah, yesterday
with that strike.
You could
just there was
whatever.
A fastball from Darvish that was in the other batter's box that he went, caught it, and brought it back at least a foot. And he tried it. You didn't call it, but I'm like,
but hey, when you,
I guess you got to try.
When you got a guy wearing clown shoes behind you, you know, right. You can pull it back wherever you want.
I will throw this out there. One thing I observed while going back and looking through the highlights, I watched an 8-minute package on the highlights. I think the most visible player in the highlight reel was Fernando Tatis, and he didn't actually do anything.
He actually had a major error and 3 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, no.
There was nothing
really
in the highlight package of him actually performing. It was just every time the Padres got a hit, a strikeout, whatever it was, it pans to the dugout. And maybe it's because he's the most animated. And he clearly is like running out of the dugout and up the stairs and everything.
Sure.
And I think that's great. And he's going to be the face of baseball this year. I truly believe that. We're going to see a ton of Tatis this season.
But he didn't have his same swagger yesterday, right? Like, even at the plate
not
and stuff
in
at
the
times.
Game.
In the game. That's what I mean. Like, in
but
the
when
game,
he was on the sidelines, when he was in the dugout.
No, I agree.
He was all over the TV.
It's going to be that, man. That's how superstars are made.
That's what happens,
you know what
when
I mean?
You sign a ridiculous, huge contract.
Exactly.
And I think that's good, actually. I think it's good for the game.
Sure.
Because
they need to brand somebody because they're the best player in this league is not branded correctly.
I think the Padres are going to face an awful lot of pressure this season.
Oh, sure.
Because I think they
they will.
They have a lot to live up to, and I think yesterday's game kind of proved it. The Diamondbacks with their Frankenstein roster and a really bad Madison Bumgarner almost beat them.
But,
and I'll say this about Bumgarner, and this was the point I was trying to get back to, is I was really disappointed with how frazzled he got by the umpire. Mm. I would expect that out of someone who was younger, but with his experience, I was kind of disappointed because, like you said, he had things going and working relatively well for the first couple of innings. And then, you know, you just see him fall back into this pattern of arguing over, you know, the borderline calls all day. I get it. When you don't have your stuff, the thing you have is your pinpoint accuracy. That's the thing that Madison Bumgarner has at this point in his career. When he's hitting those edges and he's hitting those corners and he's not getting those calls, he can't pitch effectively. And when he is hitting those corners and the edges like he should be and not getting those calls, I can understand the game going the way it did. It just shows, though, that he can't overpower anyone anymore. At this point,
he's not going to blow a fastball by anybody.
It has to be an accurately called strike zone in order for him to be effective with where he's at with his pitching now.
Tonight, game two, you get Blake Snell. Anything that you guys are keeping an eye out for tonight?
I'm interested to see the lineup. They haven't posted the lineup yet, and I really want to see who they go
with. I think the team
with.
Is probably interested to see the lineup.
Look, I'm starting today. Cool.
I don't know any position other than maybe left field and first base that you should feel comfortable you're playing tonight.
Center field. With Cattell.
Yeah. But if Blake Snell's the lefty, Cattell might end up playing second base because they might
LeCastro
not want Rojas. I don't know. If Nick Ahmed is back, you might put Cattell in second and LeCastro in center. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever said in my life watching this team that the lineup is going to depend on whether Nick Ahmed is in it.
The good thing about this is Torey Lovullo has plenty of experience of figuring out how to put a lineup together that's completely different than yesterday's lineup. So I think he will effectively manage through this situation with these injuries. I'm just surprised that, you know, I'm surprised at what the opening day roster ended up looking like. I'm surprised.
What about the roster?
Just who made it, who didn't make it.
Give me names.
Wyatt Matheson, for instance.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not surprised that he made it, but he's just one of those guys that I didn't particularly see anything out of that made me think that he was going to make the team. I'm still really confused by Bukauskas's absence.
That one I can at least explain by the fact that he never played in AAA.
Yeah, I know, but still, he was having...
That was Dalton Varsho never played. I don't know if Bukauskas played in AAA, but he definitely didn't have a minor league season last year, so that impacts it.
He just had a really good spring, and I just don't see any reason why to interrupt that until...
They could easily end up bringing him up. I mean, he's got to be one of the top relievers that they'll bring up at some point, right?
I would think so. I think, like, we've talked about...
There's not a lot
before.
Of guys on that list ahead of him.
I don't want to say this is the reason why, because I'm just speculating, but I still feel like it has to do with his service time and when they want to start
that. For a reliever?
I don't know, Steve. I'm just saying. These are the things that they play with all the time just because it's these dumb rules set up by MLB where, if you wait a week, now that you get an extra year on that guy's service time, right?
So it's I think it's like 14 days or 17 days or something like that.
If you think he's very valuable, like he's proven so far to be, I would wait the 14 days, especially if you don't. You don't really have high expectations for how this season's going to go anyway.
No, that's true. Yeah. Okay. I see your point. I do, by the way, on Wyatt Matheson, I would have thought Andrew Young. I almost said Andy Young, and that's a big no-no. I would have thought Andrew Young would be the more likely guy to play second, third between the two of them. I don't know how options play into that, too. Josh Van Meter made the team. I don't know what his role looks like on this squad. Because we have a lot of other options at second base, and I don't know if he's going to play shortstop. I kind of doubt it. So
I'm interested to see, not having to do with today's game, but I'm interested to see how long Zach Gallen's going to be out, because I think he was on a podcast with Chris Rose the other day.
Yeah, and
Archie Bradley.
Yeah.
And he said, like, he was basically saying that the injury wasn't that bad. And it could have been obviously way worse. It could have been Tommy John surgery and all that stuff. And he sounded pretty optimistic about when he's going to come back. So
they must be, though, because you can't throw during a microfracture recovery.
He's supposed to,
but he's throwing.
Able to play catch.
He's supposed to be able to play catch.
That makes no sense.
But it's different, Steve. I told you. We had that talk last time.
I know.
Throwing.
I still don't believe
than playing
it.
Playing catch.
I know.
You're thinking like bullpens and stuff. That's not what he's not allowed to do that.
I know. Okay. But still, like, you should be shut down for a microfracture. Normally.
I agree.
Normal situation.
I agree. You should probably be in some sort of brace so that it can heal properly, and it probably should be set and whatever.
So they have to be super confident that this thing is like as small of a microfracture as you can get.
It's weird because once again, we talked about how it was really only when he was throwing the curveball and hitting.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he got it while hitting.
Well,
he said he couldn't throw the curveball because it hurt.
Well, and they said he was also experiencing discomfort when hitting. So.
Yes. Yeah, that I don't even really care about. Just don't let him hit.
You can't do that, Steve. It's the National League.
I know, but I hate it.
You know something that's really makes me doubtful of this team's chances for success this season?
Please tell us.
I'm looking at their active roster right now, and there's two outfielders on it.
Yeah.
Two outfielders.
Peralta and...
LeCastro.
They still have Marte listed as an infielder?
They have everybody else listed as an infielder.
Well, Pavin Smith is really a first baseman playing right.
Everybody's in.
Marte is a second baseman playing center.
Marte, I don't even know that Marte is a second baseman. He might be a shortstop. Remember, Marte came up as a shortstop.
Oh, my God.
I'm not joking. There's literally
Tim
only...
Tim LeCastro and David Peralta are the only
outfielders
official outfielders on
and LeCastro didn't even start.
On the active roster.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That is a little weird.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what? Even with all of those, even with all that adversity against them, they still almost beat.
They scored seven runs off you, Darvish.
Who's supposed to be the best team in the league. You know, I'm not a big person for moral victories or, you know, trying to squeeze juice out of a loss. But I mean, there's a lot to squeeze there. There's a lot to, like, use as motivation for your team. You know, you did something historic on day one. A team that nobody thought anything historic offensively was going to come out of this team. You know, Ketel Marte almost hit for the cycle.
You could point to the, like, hey, remember how everyone was saying these guys are, like, the next big thing, the Padres, they might win the World Series this year? We just hung seven runs on them. If we can pitch better, we can beat teams like this.
If Madison Bumgarner tried harder, that would have been a home run. And it would have been an 8-8 game.
He tried harder.
I'm just saying.
Okay, Derek.
Hit the ball a little harder.
See you hit the ball out of
swing line. Harder, Matt Bum.
I'm not a professional baseball player.
We knew that. Let's move to the big news today. Sorry, D. We love
you. That
was
a sick burn.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I mean, your Sandlot onesie does say otherwise.
Hey, I'm dressed like a well-dressed toddler today, and I'm proud of it.
The big news today came out maybe half hour ago or so. The MLB is going to be moving the All-Star Game and the draft out of Atlanta, Georgia, which is where it was scheduled to be this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this, well, most of this is political. So basically what happened is the state of Georgia recently passed some new bills that have to do with voting rights. Basically, they're making it more difficult for you to vote. They will require you to include further identification, like your voter ID number or your driver's license number, on your ballot when you mail it in order to further identify that it is, in fact, you voting. You could argue that's a good thing or a bad thing, but Major League Baseball has taken their stance, and they say, we stand up for making it easier to vote, and they're standing up for voting rights. And by doing that, they have moved the All-Star festivities out of Georgia. So it's not unprecedented. I think the NBA moved out of Charlotte a couple years ago because of different political stances.
Also, the Super Bowl wasn't here in Arizona until the state adopted Martin Luther King Day as a national holiday.
Right. They gave it to the Arizona, the NFL, and then Arizona took it away. Well, they took it away from us because we refused to acknowledge
also,
MLK
Day.
Well,
if I'm not mistaken, I think that the NBA wanted to take the All-Star Game away when it was the SB 1070 stuff.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
The whole country hated
it.
It
was really close to when the game was going to take place, so I think that the logistics on it didn't work out, but had they had more time, they probably would have pulled it out of here.
You guys cool with this?
It's a right move. If you're going to support players, you're going to support your fans, you're going to stand up for what's right. And a lot of people do not think that this is right. I'm one of those people. You know, I think that this is a weird thing we've lived through where, you know, one of the candidates didn't win and people are mad enough that, you know, months later, they're still wanting to recount votes and change the way we vote. So that next time that doesn't happen that way again, right? Like we had a historic number of people come out and vote, and they talk about how people who lost are disenfranchised by this. Well, now you know how other people of color, people in other parts of the country have felt about being disenfranchised about voting for years, you know, and that's the way that this has gone. They tried to make it as fair as possible. They tried to make it as open as possible, as easy, especially in the middle of a pandemic, as possible.
Right.
You know, I think that restricting voter like what you just said sounded so crazy to me. Just hearing the requirements to vote. Like, wait, how am I supposed to put a copy of my ID on? I have to go.
I think you would like write in your driver's license number. But there's problems with that for some people because some people might not have a driver's license.
Sure.
Or they might just be less likely to vote if they know they have to take an extra step.
You have to jump through all of these hoops in order to do it. You know, I don't know. I just didn't see these same people wanting to change these voting rights and the way we vote, 4 years ago when Trump won. You know, I think that there's a lot of silly political bitterness and people mad about their side or their candidate losing. I understand when historic numbers come out and you still didn't have it come, you know, add up in your favor. You know, I get people being upset about it because I was upset myself in the past when I voted and it felt like my vote didn't mean anything. This state, particularly at times, it can feel like, you know, unless you're voting a certain way, like you're throwing your vote away anyway. So I understand when people get to the point where they don't feel like their vote is going to matter anyway and you don't want to do it anymore. You know, that's what this law is hoping for. Like you said, it's hoping to make it so complicated that people will just opt out.
But they'll never admit that. That's not the out loud intention. That's the behind closed doors intention.
Sure, it's trying to make it just an identification thing. And, you know, I don't know. There's a fraud thing. Many online things that, you know, that we've kind of converted to now that don't seem to have any problem with fraud or, you know, requiring you to check, you know, or verify your identity several different ways or pick which box has a little street light in it or any of that kind of stuff, right? There's all sorts of things online to verify that you're a real human and that you are who you are, you know, verification codes to your cell phone or whatever. There's all sorts of ways.
That's the thing. Nobody opposes confirming the identity of the person voting. Nobody opposes that. We just already do a good job of it.
Right.
And especially in Arizona, where I think it's worth noting, currently I believe there's 20-plus voting rights bills that are working their way through the Arizona legislature. And in a state that's controlled by the Republicans, and I'm not trying to make this political, this is just true. In a state where our legislature is run by Republicans, some of these things that are passing in Georgia could potentially make their way through the legislature and onto the governor's desk here in Arizona. So what that means for sports and baseball, let's hope they don't move the All-Star game from Georgia to Arizona only to find out that we're going through the same thing.
Right.
Because it's entirely possible.
I
would love to have the All-Star game here. Don't get me wrong. But
I imagine if they're plugged in at least politically enough to know what's going on there this decision, they know what's going on in other major areas that they could potentially
They'll just
have
move it to New York. They know they're not going to change
it. They ain't going to worry about that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I don't know what to say. It's kind of like a lot of the protesting we've seen. It's a lot of, you know, activism that we've seen. It's depending on how you feel about it, it is something that at least has become more effective at times. We've seen people change their policies. You know, this isn't going away. You know, the MLB pulling it out of there, out of the state, isn't going to make them all of a sudden change the law. What it does is it at least can make people in the state who are upset about what's happening and you know, especially something like this occurring, take action and possibly do what they can as, you know, constituents to change this entire situation.
Let's do this as we wrap up. World Series picks.
What?
Who do you guys have to
one day
make it to? Well, let's assume yesterday didn't happen. The Mets and Nationals have had their entire series canceled.
No.
Let's assume yesterday didn't happen yet, and this is our preseason predictions, because one game doesn't change these things. Who makes it to the World Series, and who wins?
I think the Dodgers are going to beat the Yankees in the World Series.
Wow. That would be a big World Series, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Derek?
Though I'm not even sure about the Yankees pick. I don't know.
Right. That one's up.
I'm pretty confident the Dodgers will be in the World Series again. But
after seeing two Dodger players run past each other in the wrong direction on the base path yesterday, I am
Yeah, no thanks for robbing my fantasy team, Justin Turner, you idiot.
Oh, that's so great.
First you get COVID in the World Series, and then you do that.
Stupid. I'm going to take, just randomly, just for fun, I'm going to take the two teams that I feel improved the most during the offseason, and that's the San Diego Padres versus the Toronto Blue Jays.
That's a fun World Series. I would like to see that World Series.
I like that.
That would
a lot.
Be a good baseball World Series.
That would make a lot that of fun. That series would create. I mean, the stars are already there, right? People already know these names, but that would create superstars. What we're talking about with like Tatis being the face of MLB. That would.
Yeah. The Blue Jays have all the sons of all the sons. Legends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so great. It's like a wrestling faction over there. It's fantastic.
If those two teams make it to the World Series, I don't think Toronto has the starting pitching to get there just yet, but they could easily make a trade.
Hyunjin Ryu is really good.
Here's the thing, though.
I'll just say that.
I think they're going to continue to be aggressive with acquiring guys. And I think
they need to be.
Well, this is going to be one of those seasons where teams are going to give up way earlier than they have in the past. I think some teams, like we said, have already just opted out, like in the front office. The front office just knows that the team isn't going to do anything special this season. I hate to say it, but I think the Diamondbacks might be one of those teams that have kind of opted out of doing any big moves this season just until things settle down financially.
Their biggest move was what?
You just wait. You just wait till the Blue Jays get Robbie Ray back.
Oh no!
Just wait.
Come on.
Just wait.
Come on.
I do agree. The Blue Jays are a playoff team this year. I believe that. I don't know that they're a World Series team. I want them to be in the World Series, but I just don't think they have the pitching behind Ryu. I just don't think they're there yet. But they could easily go and add somebody at the deadline.
And that's what I think. I think that could still happen.
My picks, and again, I wanted to go Dodgers over Yankees like Bear, but I just don't trust the Yankees. I do, however, trust the Dodgers. I read a column this week, I forget who wrote it, that said that they might be the greatest team ever.
Yeah, but didn't they lose to the Rockies yesterday?
They're going to lose games. It's not like they're going to go 162-0. But
on day one,
oh,
Steve?
Come on.
To the Rockies?
Come on, dude.
The Rockies were supposed to win 12 games all season long.
In Colorado, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Ball flies.
But it doesn't fly when you're running the wrong way.
I always find it dumb when the defending world champions open up the next season on the road.
I agree with
that.
It's
stupid.
And it's like a lot of people had a problem with the fact that their first opponent at home is the Nationals.
Yeah.
And like I said, I get it because it's the two last World Series.
Well, we'll see because the Nationals are dealing with all sorts of COVID
problems.
Maybe
they don't even have a season.
I'll go Dodgers over White Sox.
What?
Oh. And I would have felt way better about the White Sox pick
White
if
Sox.
Eloy Jimenez didn't get hurt.
Oh,
but yeah, I'm so telling you, dude, bad. That White Sox lineup is stacked.
You believe in Tony La Russa, don't you?
I don't. I really don't.
Then what are you doing?
I hated that hire.
The talent will overmatch his old school managing.
I love Luis Robert.
Incorrect.
I love Luis Robert, who apparently his name might actually be Luis Robert.
Yeah. I heard Lewis yesterday.
No, there's no way.
Lewis Robert. He's French-Canadian.
Tim Anderson might be the most underrated player in baseball. Jose Abreu just won the MVP. They've got Andrew Vaughn, who's maybe the best hitter and prospect in baseball right now. I love their team.
If they can bat flip, that team's going far.
They got Giolito, Lance
Giolito's
Lynn.
Nuts. Giolito
Dylan
is
Cease.
So sick. Yeah. What? And then they added Liam Kendricks. Who
Michael Kopech. Arizona product is
if
still
he,
in their minor
if
league
he
system.
Plays, yeah.
He throws like 103, but
if they added like
not in the strike zone.
If they added yeah, a little more to the
it
bullpen,
goes away from that.
And if they can find a
not
way
Ted
to replace Eloy,
yeah.
Then you're talking about a World Series team. So it's probably not this year, it's probably next year, but man, I like the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about the AL. I'm not sure the Yankees are better than them.
I don't know either. The AL's weird.
The Astros
like,
aren't that good.
The Twins. The
Angels
Twins,
aren't that good.
The Twins could win the Central, too. They're a decent
they could.
Team. They can make a wild card.
I hope La Russa replaces Eloy with Yasmani Tomas.
Oh,
that would be the
God.
Greatest.
Gosh. Where is Yasmani?
Yeah, where is
Nationals?
He?
Nationals? I think he signed a minor league deal with the Nationals.
I thought he bought an island.
He bought Reno. Reno is his.
He owns the
he
entire
has the
town
money.
Now. Yes.
He's sitting in an account
I'm
somewhere.
Pretty sure he's in Washington.
So much money off interest. Oof.
Do we want to do other picks? Should we do MVP picks?
Why?
Mike Trout.
We have 161
Let
more
me go
games.
With Mike Trout and Mookie Betts.
I'm going Ketel Marte all day MVP.
Juan Soto. I'll throw that one out there.
The Nationals might not have a season.
Well,
yeah,
that's
we
true.
We talked about that.
They're going to have less games, apparently.
We talked about that while you were saying something.
Yeah. We have sidebars while you're talking.
I know. I don't like it. I like to have control. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys checking us out.
What about Cy Young?
You didn't want to do this.
Manager of the year? You want to give it to La Russa?
Rookie
no,
of the year? I can't even name the rookies. I don't even know.
Manager of the year, Charlie Montoyo, Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like and that. Jace Tingler.
Jace Tingler.
Rookies, Cabrian Hayes with the Pirates.
What about Dylan Carlson with the Cardinals?
He homered on opening
day. He did. So did Cabrian Hayes.
I like that.
I don't know.
I'm going to go Ryan Mountcastle in the
AL. Oh, yes. Great name.
It's Orioles.
Super name.
Casey That's Mize name. Might be a name, too, because he made the rotation.
There's a couple of Tigers. Tarek Skubal.
I just said I couldn't name any rookies.
Yeah,
I
look at you guys. Look at the two of you.
I named four whole rookies.
I'm so proud.
I like those guys.
This was a joke. We're really giving names.
You know who's still the leading guy for Rookie of the Year in the AL is Wander Franco, and he didn't even make the opening day lineup. Now, but
are they ever
going to
give that guy a shot?
But he could be the guy, like Derek was talking about earlier, they could be holding him down for 2 weeks, and then he could be up mid-April.
Sure.
Stupid.
You just don't
totally could.
It doesn't make
they
any sense.
They also have a decent, Tampa Bay has a decent shortstop. Willie Adames is pretty good. But
yeah, he is good.
Wander Franco has been the top prospect in baseball for like 5 years.
All right, can I wrap up the podcast now, or is that cool
please,
with you guys?
Please,
what other awards? There's no easy way
what
to
other
do it
awards
with you two.
Can we
yeah,
give
you're
out?
The one that wanted to give
can
out
Can we give
awards?
Out gold gloves?
Yeah.
Wild cards?
Silver
Slugger awards? You want to do that?
Reliever of the year?
Let's name the All-Star game while we're here.
Relievers of the year? The Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman closer of the year or whatever it is?
Is it both of them now?
Is it I think the both? I think the AL is Mariano and the NL is Trevor Hoffman.
God,
I'm pretty sure.
I'm too old.
Meanwhile,
I watch both of those guys.
Who wins the batting title?
Year.
Who wins the batting title?
Meanwhile, Billy Wagner is like, I did it in both leagues.
Yeah.
I was pretty great too.
Call it the Billy Wagner Award.
I would. All right. Now I'm going to wrap it up if you guys don't mind. We thank you so much for checking us out on opening day. Keep an eye on the Diamondbacks this weekend. Padres, we got game 2 tonight. It's Blake Snell on the mound against the Diamondbacks.
Oh, look, the lineup.
Wait! We were so close.
All right, here we go.
Let's hear it.
Tim LaCastro in right field. Mm-hmm. Ketel Marte in center. Christian Walker at first. Eduardo Escobar again at second.
Wow.
Asdrubal Cabrera at third. Mm-hmm. Carson Kelly batting sixth, catching. Rojas at short. Wyatt Matheson in left.
What?
No David Peralta.
Already? And we're then, already doing this?
And then, Merrill Kelly pitching, batting ninth.
We don't have enough players for this.
I don't see how you could... I mean... Torrey Lovello does this a lot,
but how is
David Peralta already getting a day off?
A day off?
It's the lefty
it's
thing.
It's a long... It's,
I don't care it's if it's the lefty thing.
It's a 162-game season, hit. Bear. It's
he's,
a sprint or a marathon,
not,
not
Jake
a sprint.
Lamb. He's not Jake Lamb.
Yeah, I agree.
He can still hit a lefty. He homered off Kershaw in spring training. I saw it. Mm-hmm. I watched it on TV.
I was there for it.
They have two outfielders.
He's not Jake Lamb against lefties. Wyatt Matheson is playing left field.
They have two outfielders LaCastro, on the roster, and neither of them, they didn't start both of them either day.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're keeping their outfielders fresh.
Keep it fresh. They only have two.
It's like relievers or something. You can't have them out there every day.
This is a joke.
Thank God I look
Watch,
at my
they're
going
to win tonight.
I know.
They're
gonna
I know,
pull
and
it
we're
going
to look like idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Wyatt Matheson's going to hit for the cycle.
Yeah, he's going to go 5-for-5 with 3 home runs. 17
maybe we'll just maybe all right maybe we'll just redo this whole podcast. I don't know. I don't know what's
all right going 3-2
anyway.
One pew.
I don't know.
Start it over.
I don't know what's
start
happening.
Start over.
Wrap it up. All that's right. What we need to yeah. do. We should have never looked at the line.
Stay off your phones while I wrap up the podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla, Cody Fincher as well, bringing you all the latest and greatest news with the Diamondbacks. It is the Ain't No Fang podcast. It's here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.